going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With the 29th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Washington Commanders select Josh Connerly, Jr., tackle, Oregon.
Adam Peters said last night after the pick that they had a ton of opportunities to trade back, acquire more picks, but they weren't going to accept any of those offers if Josh Connerly, Jr. was on the board. And they selected him at number 29 in the first round. All of the weeks and the months of mocks and discussion, we have our answer. He is a left tackle in college, projected to be a right tackle, maybe a guard at the NFL level for Washington. Good morning, everybody. We're going to open up phone lines early here in the show. Want to get your thoughts not only on the pick, but what you'd like to see them do tonight with number 61 overall. Some of you are so interesting. I mean, I got in this morning pretty early, and I just was going through a lot of emails and notifications on Twitter just to see what the reaction was, because I didn't really stay up for it last night. I jumped on with Hoffman on his post-game show. And I, you know, for me, it was from the jump. Look, it's Adam Peters. It's an organization that's earned some trust. Let's go with it. And I'll give you more of my thoughts in a moment. But I was really surprised, I guess, at how many of you just hated it. Now, a lot of you loved it. I'm not saying this is not, you know, creating some sort of inaccurate straw man argument, but because a lot of you love the pick, but God, there were so many of you that had a major issue with them taking just an offensive lineman. Some of you got into the details of the lineman that they took versus some of the others that were available. I'll read just a couple real quickly. This came from Mac. Mac wrote, "What are they doing? Did they see the game in Philadelphia? Defense, for God's sakes. Mike Green was the second best defensive player in the draft. Help me, please, Kevin." This from Gary. Gary wrote, he wrote UH like five times. "A left tackle? Question mark, question mark. Didn't they just trade for one of the best left tackles in the league? What am I missing?" This from Daniel PX. "They whiffed on Coleman, which forced them to trade for Tunsil, and now pick another O-lineman when they desperately needed defense. Let AP cook is becoming a punchline." All right, so before, I mean, I love the passion and the arguments that we have and the debates that we have. I'm never going to not love them because everybody's entitled to their opinion. Totally your prerogative to hate the pick. I mean, we're sports fans. That's what we do. Without a lot of information, much of the time. I'm going to give you my thoughts on the pick here shortly, but I do want to start with this, and it's for what it's worth, because I've mentioned this before when it comes to offensive linemen. For fans like me anyway, all right? I'm speaking for myself. I think it is the hardest of the positions to generate any real passion for one way or the other. You know, usually when I hear someone, you know, a fan or even somebody in my business standing on a table and screaming for a specific offensive lineman, I think it's more about someone else's analysis rather than theirs. All due respect. No offense. You know, because most of us don't have the legitimate ability. I'm saying most of us who didn't play the game or coach the game or scout the game. Most of us don't have the legitimate ability to evaluate, well, any position really, let alone one as complex and often system-driven and often hidden in many ways as offensive linemen. Always hard, for me anyway, to generate sincere enthusiasm for a tackle, guard, or center. I have a friend of mine who played college football, was a starting center in college football, at the D3 level, and I trust his opinion because he's also coached for years. But that's just me. I always feel like this position is the hard one. We all feel like, even though we really don't know, we all feel like we have a pretty good, you know, beat on quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, you know, pass rusher, big, you know, ugly on defense that wrecks the game, linebackers. You know, corners, I think, are very difficult positions to evaluate because it's so system-driven. It's so coached differently in every single situation. You know, of course, we can understand 40 time and sub-times and, you know, size and arm length, etc. You know, those kinds of things. But I don't know. I just think I love these conversations, and I love the conversations, as most of you know, about the games, going into them and coming out of them. I think the draft conversation is always a tough one, but an entertaining one. And the reason it's tough is that the people that get paid to do it, like general managers in the league, are wrong 65 to 70% when they pick players. Just, you know, understand, we get all worked up every year, and it's a great television show, and it's a lot of fun. You know, but the bottom line is the guys that are getting paid millions of dollars a year to do this get it wrong 65 to 70%. And if they get it wrong only 60% of the time, they're among the elite in the game at evaluating. Now, I do think it's fair to evaluate, you know, players based on where they were taken relative to, you know, the consensus. That's fine. You know, like, did Atlanta really need to trade a future first-round pick to move up into the first round to take James Pierce? Maybe they did. Maybe that's the player they were in love with, and they realized that somebody was going to take him regardless of the red flags all over James Pierce. But, you know, the Falcons have kind of screwed things up a little bit here in recent years. You get a sense for a guy like Terry Fontenot, like, what's he doing? Like, the consensus was Pierce was going to fall out of the first round, like Green did, because of, you know, some of the intangible stuff, you know. But maybe every team was comfortable with that. That's possible, too. You know, that every team was comfortable with it, and they realized the player was way too good to be sitting there at, where did they take him? At 20, where was Pierce taken? 26, they traded up for Pierce. Maybe they thought, you know, a team like Baltimore or maybe Washington would take him if they didn't get up in front. I doubt Washington would have taken Pierce. But I think, you know, evaluating based on where the player was taken relative to a consensus, you know, sometimes works. But like in a draft like the one we are involved in right now, almost everybody has said, including general managers around the league, this is a draft where basically players 6 through 60 are not that different from one another. So it's kind of hard. Now, let me get to my thoughts on the pick. Because it's a position that is tough to evaluate for most of us, I totally trust in Adam Peters. And I trust in the organization. They've earned that here over a year. Like, I would say to Gary and Daniel and who was the other one, Mac, yeah, I think they did see the game in Philadelphia. It was the NFC Championship game there, Mac. They had won 14 of the 19 games they had played last year to play in the NFC Championship. And by the way, they added a lot. Now, it wasn't, you know, headline stuff in the offseason defensively. But they added a bunch of players defensively. And I would guess that they recognize that defensively they struggled at the end of last year. That they struggled to stop the run pretty much all season long. And that in the NFC title game, getting off the field was a problem. I think they probably understood that. Going in. I do. Like, yeah, they were there. And as far as whiffing on Coleman, again, two out of every three picks are whiffs for everybody. In the history of this thing, two out of every three, basically, is a whiff. Now, if you're whiffing on three out of four, if your whiff rate is 75%, you probably don't have a job. But if you're hitting, you know, on two out of five at 40%, now you're probably getting paid big bucks. It is a game, the draft, of many more misses than hits. Have they whiffed on Coleman? I don't know that they've whiffed on Coleman. Okay, he's not a left tackle, in their opinion. And maybe we learned last night he's not a right tackle. But maybe they believe he can be an outstanding guard. And if he ends up being an outstanding guard, it was a good pick. Third round. So I, number one, trust in this group because they did play in the NFC Championship game last year. You know, we got to, going into this thing, it's like you got to give this whole thing. Josh Harris, front office, new coaching staff, 3 years. I mean, they were literally at the studs of this home. They had to totally rebuild the whole thing. And real quickly, we got one hell of a big great room in the first year. All right, I trust in them, number one. Number two, the pick is a trench pick. We've talked about since the end of the season. This was part of what you thought they would emphasize in the offseason. Free agency and the draft. Philadelphia is big and bad in the trenches. Oh, by the way, the other NFC East teams that they play twice a year have excellent pass rushers. Thirdly, their most prized possession, the most prized possession in the organization, is Jaden Daniels. So what did they do here in the offseason? They traded for one of the best left tackles in the game because they really felt like they needed a legitimate upgrade at that position. And they drafted in the first round a guy that will likely get an opportunity to start at right tackle. And you've got bookend tackles protecting your most prized possession. Now, if the player turns out not to be any good, because Tunsil we know is good. You know, when you trade for a player with that much, you know, wear on the tire, we've seen enough to know he's legit good. Connerly Jr., a lot of people love the pick. I didn't see the pick panned, and I was looking for expert opinion on the pick. I went and watched everything that you guys watched last night. And I will say that before the draft, even though we talked about some offensive linemen and talked about an offensive lineman being a possibility, I didn't think a guy that only played left tackle in college was going to be the selection. So I didn't spend a lot of time looking at Josh Connerly. I didn't spend a lot of time looking at offensive linemen in general. You know, so I can't tell you if Simmons would have been the better pick or they should have taken Donovan Jackson and traded up for him. I, you know, or if he had been available. I, Adam Peters, and I'm telling you, everything he said last year after the Jaden Daniels thing was said going into it and said after it to me from people in the know, that he was the guy right from the jump. So when he says, we got a ton of calls when we were on the clock, we got calls throughout the week, just preliminary calls like we talked about earlier in the week in our presser, and then we got a ton of calls leading up to that. And what we discussed beforehand is really, if he was on the board, we weren't going to trade back. And so there was an opportunity to trade back with a few other teams. Wasn't very far, but in our minds, it was not even worth risking missing on him. So I'm going to take him at his word. I feel like over the last year, most of what I've learned about what he said publicly has been true. And he doesn't disclose a lot. But he told you last night, we got calls. We had opportunities. We had plenty, tons of opportunities to trade back. And not even that far to trade back. Meaning, maybe they could have gotten Connerly and picked up a pick. But they didn't want to risk it.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And I do think, and I've talked about this a lot, look, the more swings you get, ultimately, the better. Because if your hit rate's going to be 34, 35, 36, 37%, you'd rather have that on 10 players picked than 5 players picked. If you really, you know, if it really is the crapshoot that, you know, it tends to be every year. But I also don't like when you have a player that you really like and you think is easily the best player on your board, and you've loved him, and everybody in the organization loved him. I'll trust Adam Peters on that. You know, you risk the Ryan Kerrigan, J.J. Watt situation in 2011. You know, no offense to Ryan Kerrigan, because he was a very good NFL player and a really good player for a long time here. And now, you know, he's got a budding coaching career. But J.J. Watt's a Hall of Famer. And you traded back from 11 to 16, I think it was in that draft, or 9 to 16, and you missed out on an opportunity for a Hall of Fame player. Now, maybe they didn't have him rated in the same way they had Ryan Kerrigan. So I don't mind when they love a player and that player is best player easily on their board and they want that player. I don't mind the not trading back. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, the player himself, look, he's big. He is athletic, had a very good athletic, you know, relative athletic score for the position. That has been a thing. And, you know, I was looking through the RAS scores for this draft. I've looked at them already before, but I was looking to see who's left for tonight that scored very well, players that might fit, you know, positions of need also. And there's one in particular, and I've talked about him already leading into the draft, and I'll get to that coming up here in the first hour. But this dude's big. He's athletic. He's smart. I've read, I can't tell you how many different reviews, but there was something that somebody sent me. Hoffman mentioned this to me last night. It's called The Beast. It's the guy from The Athletic. Sorry, I'm blanking on his name. Dane Brugler. Dane Brugler writes something called The Beast. Anyway, he does an extensive write-up, and Hoffman was talking to me about it last night. I was unfamiliar with it. So I looked up Connerly, and he's got a lot of good, you know, a lot of information. And this sort of runs parallel with a lot of the other information, but I liked a lot of this. And by the way, in watching some of the highlights, this dude really is athletic. Like, he can really move. And when a guy can really move, you understand why they would want him in the Kingsbury scheme. They need their offensive lineman to be able to get out, you know, on bubbles, on screens, quick game, etc. By the way, did you see what Adam Peters held up? He had a piece of paper that he showed everybody. It was from Cliff Kingsbury. He left a note on Adam Peters' desk. I guess it was yesterday. Please, the Oregon tackle. Kingsbury apparently loved Connerly Jr. You know, a couple of things about Connerly stood out in this write-up from Brugler and others. Obviously, this is a big man, you know, with good arm length. Not the longest arm length, but really solid arm length. And then very, very quick in the immediate line of scrimmage, you know, plus 10 area. Scored very well. The RAS score, very good for the position. And the write-up was outstanding lateral quicks, change of direction, and overall movement skills. Explosive jump setter to easily cut off pass rush angles. Elite recovery balance. Average height. I mean, he's 6'4 and a half, close to 6'5. But above average arm length and big hands. You know, the above average arm length, and maybe this has gotten to the in recent years, gotten to an area where it's not as applicable because we've seen some shorter arm, very good tackles in the game. But remember when Brandon Scherff was selected, you know, pretty much Jay Gruden and everybody in that organization knew that he was a guard, not a tackle, because he had shorter arms. You'd rather have longer arms as a tackle. You know, you put those arms on somebody. By the way, it can help with respect to lack of quickness. But anyway, keeps a head on a swivel to locate blitzes and stunts. Light feet and body control to seal front side on zone reads. It goes on and on, but really what it speaks to is athleticism. He's very athletic. He may not be overpowering, but he is right now very athletic, and they want athletes. And with the quick stuff that they run, with the get it out of his hands on bubbles, on screens, yeah, that's what you're looking for. He finished his career at Oregon, 28 straight starts, did not miss a start basically in two seasons. And he allowed only six pressures over his final 12 starts, all of those coming against Ohio State. More on that when we start looking at second round. Did well against Abdul Carter. Remember, Oregon, for those of you that may have forgotten, was in the Big Ten this year. So I like the pick. This is another investment in Jaden. And there's one other thing to just think about, you know, looking ahead. And I think that this was something, when I brought up offensive line as a possibility, this is what I was speaking to in most cases. You probably are going to be moving on from Wiley and from Allegretti. Remember, the investment in Allegretti in particular was, at the time, we didn't even know if he'd be a starter for sure. But he did. He started and he was fine. But what this, to me, says is it's Tunsil at left tackle, of course. By the way, Tunsil being an older player, maybe the long-term solution is Connerly Jr. at left tackle when Tunsil gets older, but he plays the first part of his career at right tackle. But I think what we'll see is we'll see Tunsil, we will see Allegretti probably to start, Biotish, because Cosmi's out, with the ACL, at least for the first portion of the year. That's where you see Coleman, and then you see Connerly Jr. at right tackle. That would be my guess. Now, if Connerly Jr. is not ready for right tackle, Coleman can play right tackle. He could play inside. When Cosmi comes back, that's where I think ultimately you end up with an offensive line that is Tunsil, Coleman, Biotish, Cosmi, and Connerly Jr. Whether that's at some point this year or that's in 2026. You can't go wrong if you trust the evaluators, and so far there's no reason to not trust the evaluators, in the division they're in and the team that they most have to beat out, investing in the offensive line to protect your quarterback, and by the way, potentially to run the ball better. Remember what happened towards the last quarter, last third of the season? We couldn't run the football unless it was the quarterback running. That, by the way, is a part of what they were probably paying attention to also. You know, we talked a lot about why aren't the running backs gaining more yards? Well, is it the runners? Is it the O-line? Is it in their read option game? Is it maybe the quarterback not making the right decisions? Is it play calling? Is it scheme? Who knows? But I think what they've told you is, we want to get better at running the football, and by the way, we want to get better and more consistent protecting our most prized possession. I have no problem with this pick. I have no idea if it'll work out. None. I don't have a strong feel on the player like I do at other positions, but I totally, totally am fine with the pick, and there's just no chance you could get me to like pan the pick just because I wasn't expecting it. And just because guys like Mike Green were still on the board. I loved Mike Green watching him. I thought he was the second best edge behind Abdul Carter in the draft. But his issues at UVA and in high school, and who knows what else, clearly Mike Green was the guy that fell along with Will Johnson because of injuries, the corner from Michigan. So, you know, I said going into this, there are a couple of players I don't think they'll take. And Pierce Jr.'s work ethic red flags were a big issue, but I thought that Green, in part, wouldn't even be an option for them because I thought somebody would end up taking him. He's available. Will Johnson, because of injuries, available. That's interesting to me. I mean, yesterday on the show, I forget, Max, was it Chris or Craig who picked Will Johnson to be the pick for Washington?
Craig's
said he's falling.
Craig was banging that drum most of the day. Yeah.
So Craig said he's falling, and that was his pick. And I'm like, if he falls to 29, there's got to be a major, major problem. And I don't see Washington taking that, but he was right that he dropped, and a lot of mock drafts had him dropping leading up to yesterday. There's a lot that they had on the board. They had Azaraku as a pass rusher. He didn't get picked in the first round. They had Green. They had a couple of the corners available, and they had a player in mind. And maybe if Connerly Jr. had gone before, maybe they would have accepted one of those trade backs. We wouldn't have gotten a pick, and we would have had a couple to get excited about tonight. But there are a lot of opportunities tonight. I can't wait to see what they decide to do. I think, you know, in terms of at 61, there are going to be running backs. There are going to be corners. There are still going to potentially be edges available. There's one player, and I've talked about him, that I really kind of fell in love with that was more projected late on night two and in some cases even day three. But he had the third best relative athletic score of all of the players that were tested for that, and he would fill a need. I would bet that Washington is interested in Darian Porter from Iowa State. I don't know if 61's too early, but Darian Porter had the third best relative athletic score, RAS score, and he is an outstanding, big, long, physically imposing corner who also has been a phenomenal special teams player. And he ran the, in addition to having the third best RAS score, he ran the third best 40 time. 6'3", long arms, can play zone, can play man. That's a guy that I would look at if he's on the board at 61 for tonight, just based on what they've been looking for. You know, we know the character. The dude plays special teams. He didn't start for many years, got his first opportunity this year, but he's off the charts athletic, off the charts tall, long, and, you know, seems to be, they went with a high RAS score for an offensive lineman last night, a real athletic lineman. I would look in that general direction tonight. There are other players, too, at other positions that had high scores that are available tonight as well. But I pointed out Porter because that was the one where he jumps off when you watch highlights from a fan perspective, for sure, because he is an outlier size-wise, athlete-wise, and just aggressiveness-wise. I mean, the dude blocked four punts and a field goal in college. All right. Let's give you a chance. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Your thoughts on Josh Connerly Jr. There are a couple of things I want to play for you when we come back. Adam, some of what Adam Peters said. And a longtime NFL player and NFL coach who I've always enjoyed his thoughts. He weighed in on Josh Connerly. You'll hear that as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.